think George Clooney might be here in the audience. Well, we dismiss the children for Children's Church right now. You're welcome to go with Steve and Ashley. Ashley, thank you. Thank you. And I'm glad you get an extra star in your starry crown. No mere mortal lay reader could have handled that passage with King Nebuchadnezzar and Ashpenaz and all kinds of things. And I commend you. You didn't even accidentally say a cuss word when you're trying to pronounce those. So well done. Well done, Tom. What a gift it is to have you as a part of this fellowship. What a gift it is for all of you to be a part. Typically, when we Methodists share together a creed, like the Apostles' Creed or something like that, we also sing something called the Gloria Patri. Now, it's not titled that in the hymnal, but that's what we call it in the bulletin. And that's a Latin phrase, Gloria Patri. It's really just the first words to the song that we sing in English, Glory to the Father. You know, we sing that glory to the Father and to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, goes in that song, is now and ever shall be. Have you ever heard about that? That sounds like a greeting from the 70s. You know, what it was, what it is, and what it shall be. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. You know that song. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. It satisfies my longings like nothing else can do. We are diving into some of the great stories of the Old Testament. And have you ever wondered what it means in that Gloria Patri? As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. What it means is what God did then, God can do and is doing now, and God will continue doing. So when God saved Noah from the flood, God did that then. And if God can save God's people then, God can save God's people now, and God will continue saving God's people. These stories are important for us to learn, and over the next weeks and months, we're going to be diving into stories worth telling. We're going to be talking about the classic stories, the fun stories of the Old Testament, the ones that have really something to say. Now, you might not have ever heard this story before, but it actually involves some characters. Did you pick up who they were? Shadrach food. And so it starts to sound kind of like an infomercial for the Daniel diet, you know? Just drink water and eat vegetables and you're going to be... But that's not at all what Daniel is talking about. Daniel's talking about a way in which God miraculously, this is a little miracle, God miraculously takes care of God's people for living out their faith in God. So the Bible says he and his friends looked better after 10 days than the king's wards that had been on the king's food. This is not about the Daniel diet. It's not about soft drinks or lemonade or water. It's about trusting God and God coming through. Remember, these wise folks are working for the good of the city, even though the values are not their own. Now, I know that the Russians did not conquer America, right? We don't have to worry about that anytime soon. But I do know that in our world, the values of society are changing. And those of us that hold firm to our faith in Jesus Christ have challenges that we have to face. The Bible says, our Bible says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Some of you remember, and you look wistfully as you tell me about this, when there were blue laws, when you couldn't go shopping on Sunday because there were laws in place to help you honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. But now the laws are gone, so we're glad to go shopping. But there's kind of an area of question there. I wonder how I'm supposed to live my faith. I wonder if, and just to heap on personal guilt, I'm not trying to, but I wonder if honor the Sabbath and keep it holy means I can watch NFL football games on Sunday afternoon. Well, not originally. We're kind of okay with it now. It's restful. helps us with our Sabbath. But I wonder, it's just an example. I'm not going to pound on this. We're not going to turn into seventh, eighth day Adventists or first day Adventists or anything. You know, we're not going to go and be really particular about these laws and rules. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about the way that God can come through for you when you decide to honor God in your life. What God did then to deliver Daniel and God's people, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Even though the stakes had changed, the world was against Daniel, they couldn't worship in their temple anymore, the sacred things that were a part of worship in Israel were now in a pagan temple somewhere, in some other god. How abhorrent that must have been, but God was faithful. Now that's a story worth telling, I think. And so we will tell it. In the coming days, it's going to get more intense, more exciting. We're going to remember Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And he's sick to his stomach. It makes me sick to my stomach just thinking about it. Because now he has to go tell Dad. Yeah, exactly. That's an amen. You should recruit him, ladies, for your amen corner. Amen. He goes in there and his father's sitting at the kitchen table and you can picture it. He's reading the newspaper. And he says, Dad, I need to tell you something. His father says, go ahead. He said, Dad, I forgot to set the parking brake on the car and it rolled down the driveway across the road. It's gone, Dad. It's underwater. And Lou describes his memory. His dad just kind of licked his fingers, turned the page of the newspaper, and said, well, I guess you're going to need to take the truck into town then. That's a powerful, powerful moment, right? We know how we'd react. It's a powerful moment of grace and love. His dad knew, and Lou remembers this in the story, his dad knew that he did not need to pile one more little iota of guilt or shame or anger. His son knew, was remorseful, and there's nothing they could do about it now. Well, son, I guess you're going to need to take the truck into town then. Well, as luck would have it, this week, my daughter, who's 17, we just managed to scrape and pinch and save and get her first used car, VW Rabbit, used, well used. And we got it on a Wednesday night. I taught this class on Tuesday. This really happened this week. I taught this class on Tuesday. Wednesday night, their mom, Amy, finished the purchase of the car. Thursday, Grace drove it to school for the first day. And so at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, this Thursday, I got a call from Grace. Dad, I was driving down 147, and somebody pulled out of their lane and hit me on the side of the car. Are you okay? Yes, we're fine. It's just a couple of dents. Oh, what I wanted to say. But that powerful story that I just read 2 days before and taught. So I told her, Grace, I guess you're going to need to take the truck then. She said, Dad, we don't have a truck. No, I didn't say that, but of course, there's a flood of concern and worry and frustration and helplessness, all the things you feel when things go expectedly. But one of the things that flashed into my mind was the power of that story that came back and informed the way that I responded to my sweet little daughter that didn't do anything wrong and actually took evasive maneuvers and probably saved more heartache. And so I was calm and I said, you know, we'll work through this, do this, call the police. She called me. She was at the scene. You know, call the police. We'll talk to the insurance. It's going to be okay. I'm glad you're okay. Stories, the great stories, have the power to inform the way we live in the present. What football coach hasn't used the story of David and Goliath when their little team that's never won much of anything is facing the much bigger team that was state champions last year? What person has never looked at a rainbow and heard from their Christian or Jewish parents, that's up there because that's God's promise not to wipe away the world? Some stories have power. And the stories of the first chapter of Daniel are some such stories. In the coming weeks, like I said, we're going to be sharing about the stories of the great stories of the Bible to see what God might say to us, not just because they're fun and good stories, but to hear in them what God might say to us. And these couple of weeks, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, this story was about how they got into the situation where they were, the fiery furnace. And the title of my sermon, did you notice what it was? Were you paying attention?
Lemonade.
Lemonade? Right? What on earth, preacher? Well, it's the adage. That's what inspired part of it. When life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. But there's a question mark by it because I'm not quite sure it fully applies. Here we have four very bright young men. Tom, if you would have been alive back then, you would have been one of those four. It would have been five, I think. Fine looking, without physical defect, wise in every way, knowledgeable, all those things. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, Cordelia. Just, it's part of the sermon. Well, these men, they were in the royal service of Judah. They were like White House staffers. They were some of the gifted ones in the world at that time. They were good at lots of things. They were exceedingly faithful to God. They had a great career for themselves until the trouble came. Now, what you might know if you took disciple Bible study or went to seminary or you've had particularly good Sunday school teachers was not all was good and well for God's people back in the day. In fact, there was a big empire to the north and the east called Babylon. The Babylonian Empire, and they decided they wanted some more land, kind of an expansion program, if you will. And so the Babylonians went and invaded Judah, the God's people, the nation of Judah, and they actually laid siege to Jerusalem, and they conquered it. They went to war, and the Babylonians won. So that's your history lesson for a day. And when they won, they said, well, we're not just going to kill everybody. We can use some of the best and the brightest. And so they took the people of Judah, all the people that knew something or that were good at something, and they took them to Babylon, to the capital, so they could use them for something productive. I struggle to find a modern day example, but it would be something similar to anybody ever watch Red Dawn. Remember that movie from the late 80s, I think it was. Some early stars kind of made their name in that movie, and then they remade it. But the gist of the movie was another country comes and conquers America, right? There's World War III breaks out, and this other country, the first edition was Russia, the second edition was Korea, I think, conquers America. So, and then you can't do what you always have done as Americans because there's another government in town. Right? And they're the winners, so they get to set the rules. So you can't just go to church like you always have, maybe. Maybe you have to even change your name. You can't just be free anymore. You have to live by the rules of the conquering powers, right? And so that's what happened to these folks in Judah. They were carried off. This is real historical fact. We know that this conquest went on. So Daniel and three other men are taken into exile. They have names, but you might be surprised to learn that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not born Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As Tom so astutely read, they were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's the names that their mama gave them, or their daddy, or the priest, or whoever did it back when they were born. That was their names. But when they got conquered, this people who they didn't want to be in charge of them said, that's not your name anymore. Your name is now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Have you ever had a gift? Have you ever had a calling? Have you ever been somebody, but the world doesn't see you as that? The world says, no, you're not that. You're something else. I think back, there's a very poignant example of this, and it happened a lot in history. But remember Alex Haley's Roots, the miniseries Roots about slavery? Remember Kunta Kinte was the Gambian name of one of the main characters in that story. But when he was enslaved, captured, enslaved, transferred across the Atlantic, and put to work on a plantation, the plantation owner said, "Now your name's Toby." Well, that didn't sit well with Kunta Kinte, did it? And the story talking about the resistance and the struggle. Well, it didn't just happen a couple of hundred years ago. A year ago on a family trip out west, I stopped with my kids at the Rio Grande Gorge Bridge. You ever been to that? It's like a wonder of human ingenuity. The Rio Grande, through that place in New Mexico, cuts down about a half a mile, straight down, just down into this canyon. And there's this long bridge over the top you can walk out. And it's kind of a tourist attraction outside of Taos, New Mexico. And because it's a tourist attraction, there's people there selling their wares. And we asked some of them, we started talking as we bought a bowl from a gentleman he'd made out. It was a simple clay bowl that was pinched, a pinched pottery that he'd fired in a kiln with flakes of pyrite, fool's gold in it. So it's sparkly and wonderful and beautiful. And he started talking, and I said, "Tell me about yourself." He said, "I'm of the Red Willow people." I said, "I've never heard of that." He said, "Oh yeah, you know us as Pueblo, but that's not our name. That's what you call us in your history books. But that's the name, that means house. We're not the house people. We're the Red Willow people. And we've been here a lot longer than you have, in a sense, right?" There was sort of a defiance and honoring. He wasn't being snippy about it. He wasn't being mean-spirited about it. He was just telling the truth. "This is my real name. This is the real name of my people, not the name that someone else has given to us." That was 2017, people. That wasn't 1854. It still goes on today. It still goes on. So Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they find themselves in a land not their own. And they're being offered, because they're sort of the elite of the captured, they're being offered food by the Babylonians. They're being offered education so that they can serve the Babylonians. But the food that they're being offered, it doesn't say exactly why, but Daniel says, "This is going to defile me. This is against my faith. If I do what you tell me to do, it is against my faith in God. And so I respectfully ask not to do it." Well, the person who is in charge, the guard who's watching over these folks, say, "Look, if you don't eat the food, I'm told to give you this food. If you don't eat it, you're going to starve, and then I'm going to get in trouble, and the king's going to have my head." So Daniel very respectfully says, "I'll tell you what, let us try something. You give us food that's acceptable for our faith to eat so that we can maintain our integrity and our faith. And we'll try that for 10 days and we'll see how it goes, because I don't want you to get in trouble." And so they do. And they're fed vegetables and water. That's their diet. And at the end of the 10 days, it turns out that they are, it says, fatter and healthier. They look better than all the people that were eating the king's food. And so it starts to sound kind of like an infomercial for the Daniel diet, you know? Just drink water and eat vegetables and you're going to be... But that's not at all what Daniel is talking about. Daniel's talking about a way in which God miraculously, this is a little miracle, God miraculously takes care of God's people for living out their faith in God. So the Bible says he and his friends looked better after 10 days than the king's wards that had been on the king's food. This is not about the Daniel diet. It's not about soft drinks or lemonade or water. It's about trusting God and God coming through. Remember, these wise folks are working for the good of the city, even though the values are not their own. Now, I know that the Russians did not conquer America, right? We don't have to worry about that anytime soon. But I do know that in our world, the values of society are changing. And those of us that hold firm to our faith in Jesus Christ have challenges that we have to face. The Bible says, our Bible says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Some of you remember, and you look wistfully as you tell me about this, when there were blue laws, when you couldn't go shopping on Sunday because there were laws in place to help you honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. But now the laws are gone, so we're glad to go shopping. But there's kind of an area of question there. I wonder how I'm supposed to live my faith. I wonder if, and just to heap on personal guilt, I'm not trying to, but I wonder if honor the Sabbath and keep it holy means I can watch NFL football games on Sunday afternoon. Well, not originally. We're kind of okay with it now. It's restful. Helps us with our Sabbath. But I wonder, it's just an example. I'm not going to pound on this. We're not going to turn into seventh, eighth day Adventists or first day Adventists or anything. You know, we're not going to go and be really particular about these laws and rules. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about the way that God can come through for you when you decide to honor God in your life. What God did then to deliver Daniel and God's people, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Even though the stakes had changed, the world was against Daniel, they couldn't worship in their temple anymore, the sacred things that were a part of worship in Israel were now in a pagan temple somewhere, in some other god. How abhorrent that must have been, but God was faithful. Now that's a story worth telling, I think. And so we will tell it. In the coming days, it's going to get more intense, more exciting. We're going to remember Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We're going to remember that God has called us by our name, and that means something, and that the world can't tell us who we are supposed to be, what we are supposed to do. So when life gives you lemonade, maybe we should ask for lemons. That's what Daniel did. It's just something to think about. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue here in our worship. You know, we haven't always gotten it right. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one in this whole building that makes mistakes, that has sinned against my neighbor, that hasn't lived out the fullness of calling that God has put before the church. But, well, we have a way of dealing with that. We come together once a month, at least, maybe more often, and we confess together that we haven't always gotten it right as a church, as individuals. And we are going to celebrate a holy meal. And by that time, we are going to receive the forgiveness that God offers. But first, we need to deal with the yuck. We need to deal with the times when we weren't like Daniel, when we have defiled ourselves, when we have not acted in love towards our neighbor. And so, while Christ our Lord invites to this table all who loved him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace together, we have the opportunity to confess our sin before God and one another. I invite you to page 12 in your hymnal. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. That Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. While we have presumed to label someone with a name not given to them. While we have seen someone because of the color of their skin. Or because of how much money they have, we have seen them as different and maybe somehow less than us. While we have been in sin, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, which proves God's love toward us. And I say to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. So let us offer one another signs of reconciliation and love.